So this morning, you may or may not realize that we are in the home stretch of this series on the book of Jude called Hey Jude. Maybe when you see that title, Hey Jude, maybe a song may have come to mind as you look at it. Well, there's a reason for that, and I'm going to bring some of that out this morning. Last week, recapping, we talked about how though God loves the world, only those who are in Christ are called the beloved, right? The called. If we are in Christ, then we are the beloved. And if we're in Christ, then the beloved Son himself clothes us. That's a weird word to say, clothes us with himself. We literally wear Christ. Then we are Christ's spotless bride. We are that not because of our goodness, but because of God's faithfulness, ultimately. So now last week we looked at Jude 1. Now, if you know Jude, you know that's not a scary thing. That's not a whole chapter because the whole book of Jude is just one chapter. So it was just one verse. So today we're reading Jude 1 and 2. But before we do that, let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this time of fellowship. God, we pray for those who were not able to come out this morning, that everything would be safe, that there were no wrecks of any people from our fellowship or any other fellowship who were going to worship this morning. And we pray that you would bless this time and bless our hearts and minds with wisdom by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you found Jude? It's at the very tail end of the Bible, or you can follow along on the screen. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Now, this is key. This verse 2, you may have noticed, or maybe you haven't, but most of the letters in the New Testament, they start with the same thing. You have the intro, you have the person who's writing, introducing themselves, Paul or John or Jude. You have them addressing themselves and then who they're writing to. And then you have a blessing of some sort. How would you like it if people started emails like that or letters? If you wrote a letter to your spouse or maybe to a cousin, David Klinkscales, to my family in West Texas, grace and peace. This grace and peace and love be multiplied to you. It's a blessing. Most of the letters in the New Testament start with a blessing. Grace and peace is the most popular, but then we also see grace, mercy, and peace. Obviously, mercy, peace, and love from the book of Jude. And then sometimes we just see some greetings, people greeting each other and passing along these blessings. So why? Why would all of these letters and why would Jude's letter start with a blessing? Well, first things first, to encourage us to live out of our identity. Last week we talked about how we live out of our identity in Christ. We are known as followers of Jesus when we submit to Christ. So we're encouraged to live out of our identity in Christ. What does he say to us? To those who are called, beloved in God the Father. Well, Why are we called? What are we called to? See, when Christ calls us, he calls us to something. Does anybody remember your parents, or maybe you remember as a parent calling to your kids or your parents calling to you? Maybe you were in another room of the house and you heard one of your parents call out, "Kevin!" Sometimes they would just say that, you know?
Crystal,
do you remember this? Your parents calling out. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean from whatever room you're in, even on the opposite side of the house, you yell out, what? Do you do that? They don't make them like they used to, do they? They're saying, yep, that's exactly what I do. What did we do when our parents yelled our names? We went there, right? Your parents are calling you. Oh, they need something. They're called. You're called to something. When your parents call you, you go. You're called to something. And that's how it is with us in Christ. When God calls you, you're expected to go. Now, this morning, last night, I'd taken something out of the message, and then a conversation this morning had me putting that in. You know, I had to listen to the Spirit. I was like, okay, you're bringing this up again. I guess you want me to share this. So I'm going to share this. A couple of weeks ago, when Rebecca was coming back from Florida, I was supposed to go pick her up. And there were some things that I was feeling like, oh, I've got to go to Walmart and get something. But I thought, well, I don't really have time to do that. I'm cooking. I'm trying to get the kids ready. I can't do that. But it kept coming back to me, go to Walmart. And I was like, I don't need it. Like, I was making spaghetti at the time, and I was thinking, I can do that without going to get some things from Walmart. And why would I go to Walmart? Why wouldn't I go to some other store? But I had that feeling, go to Walmart. And so I started getting the kids ready, and I was like, all right, we're going to Walmart. And I felt this pause, like, wait. And so I was stopping, and the kids were ready, and they were standing there by the back door. And I was standing there with my boots on, my jacket on, waiting to put their things on. And I didn't understand why I was pausing. Why am I pausing? And then, finally, I got this sense, okay, now, go. Okay, so I went. And at the time, I was like, this is typical Davidian, what's that word, procrastination. I was just procrastinating. I didn't know what was going on there, but we got in the car and I said, okay, kids, we got a very short amount of time to do this, so when we get to Walmart, I'm going to put you in the cart and we're going to... Like, I'm going to push you fast, and we're going to go, and we're going to get everything that we need and head back home. And so we did that, got in and out of Walmart in record time. It was beautiful. And as we were driving back to the house, I saw a guy, and it wasn't snowing, but it was cold, and the wind was blowing. And I saw a guy who was walking down the road. And so I just pulled over real quick and got out of the car. I wasn't really thinking. I just got out of the car and I said, hey, you want a ride? Oh, no, it's cool, man. I'm just going to Pleasant Hill. Oh, well, so am I. You want a ride? And he was like, you know, you're the fourth person who stopped to offer me a ride. Yeah, sure. And he gets in the car. So, this is, I don't know the street names, but we had like half of the road left between Walmart and, what is that, University, 163, left. Half of that road left. So, as we're driving, I'm talking to him, asking him, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, it's cold. Yeah, the wind starts picking up, and we're just talking about stuff like that. And then he starts telling me, yeah, it's been kind of a crazy year for me. You see, my mom and my sister were murdered last year, right before Thanksgiving. And he started telling me about this. And he says, I have no idea why I'm even telling you this. And it's starting to make sense to me now. Why God had me wait. Why God had me go. And so I said, you know, I don't know where you are, a person of faith. I don't want to freak you out or anything, but I happen to be a Christ follower, and I believe that God is sovereign. And so it was no mistake that I was driving down this road and you decided to get in this car after you had said no to four other people. And if for no other reason but that now your name and your story is emblazoned on my heart, and you've got someone praying for you. And I gave him my card, and I said, man, if you want to, I can take you out for some coffee or some lunch, and just if you need to share. He had mentioned how people kept coming to him, asking him for things. Tell me about this. Tell me about this. Just on top of him, and he was just tired of it. And I was like, man, if you ever just need to vent and get that stuff out, let me be here. Give me a call. God directs us and he guides us, sometimes in ways that we don't understand in the moment. And when he guides us to live out of our identity in Christ, he will put people in your paths. He will put situations in your path that will test you and stretch you, often in a way that will be a blessing to somebody else. And it winds up blessing you as well if you will but listen. So, this thing that God does when he calls us, he gives us a mission. He calls us to something. Now, after I got rid of that part of the message and then put it back in, now back to what we were saying. How does Christ reach out to people? Does he give visions of the cross? Does he give visions of Christ? Yes, sometimes he does. The Muslim world, you may not know this, is exploding with people having visions of Christ and being directed to followers of Christ where the gospel is shared. Yes, he does. But oftentimes, he simply uses us. If we are a follower of Christ, we are a people of mercy who have received mercy, not to hoard, but to go and share that mercy. Do you know that Jesus' plan for the salvation of the world is the church? Those who have already accepted Christ. There is no plan B. Now, you guys, especially if you're an engineer, you could be thinking, there's no plan B? Well, that's not good forethought on God's part. Like, you always want to have a plan B. What am I going to do if this first plan doesn't work out? But what did he say when Peter made this great confession of faith? Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, that's the foundation that I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That's the promise. That's why it's not scary, or it shouldn't be scary for us, that there is no plan B. It is us who are followers of Christ going and sharing the message of Christ, the gospel, the good news of what God has done for us. And how does he end his last message to us before he ascended into heaven? Matthew 28. We've heard it over and over again, but let's look at that, not at length, but what does he say? All authority is given to me. So the message, the mission that he gives us starts with his authority. All authority is his, but the mission is ours. Well, that's kind of lopsided. Well, all authority is his. The mission is ours. That's a big weight to bear. But wait. I am with you. From beginning to end, the Alpha and Omega is with us. We act under his authority. And he is with us in the midst of it. So we see letters beginning with a blessing because we need to be encouraged to live out of this identity in Christ, not out of our flesh, but out of that identity of being a child of God through Christ. But secondarily, the second one, also to exhort those who aren't living out of that identity. Why? Because, well, let's face it, it is God in his mercy that saves us, but it is also God in his mercy that gives us good gifts. When he gives us those good gifts and we don't start walking in those, sometimes it can result in a broken fellowship. He's given us something to do, and yet we don't do it. It's like when he tells the parable of the three stewards that are given talents to put to use. And there's one who doesn't do anything with what he's been given. Broken fellowship with God. It may work for a while. Hey, you know, I'm going to do this life on my own steam, and it works good for a while. But after a while, we come to realize something's wrong. Something's not right. Now, this picture of something not being right, maybe you haven't felt that in your faith walk, but maybe you've experienced it in some other area of your life. Is anyone here OCD about something? Anybody? Oh, well, I see a couple of hands. I see other people raising other people's hands. That's not a good thing to do on Valentine's Day. Yeah, some of you may be thinking, I'm not OCD about something, but think about the way you handle certain things. Maybe you're OCD about cleaning type things. I found this out with Rebecca when one time I was cleaning. You know, I'm vacuuming the whole house, doing a great job vacuuming, and then I finish that, and then I go around the counters, and I start cleaning that. Some of you already are thinking, oh yeah, I see the problem. You did it wrong, buddy, wrong. Well, you're OCD about cleaning, right? There's a pattern. That's the only way you do it. You clean the countertops first so that everything that's on them is on the floor and gets vacuumed up. Makes sense, right? Totally does. It makes sense. I get it. But sometimes we're OCD about certain things, and we can look at something like a cake tin and realize, ugh, something is horribly wrong. Now, I love this myself because, like, you can tell it's not some kid's hand that was like, I just wanted cake. Someone took great pains to watch the world burn, right? And you know, I'm sure that there are some people here that would go around from table to table if this happened out here. And they'd be like, okay, does anyone want a piece of cake? Because I've got to cut this off at this back corner of this square and give people this cake so that it looks right again. So maybe you're OCD with cakes and that sort of stuff. You know something's wrong and it's got to be made right. Well, it's the same way in God's word to us. We're given the blessing of Christ. We're given the glory of being able to be in relationship with him. And it is that word that shows us when, oh, something's off and it needs to be fixed. And third thing, why would letters open with a blessing? Because God knows we need it, doesn't he? He knows we need blessing. How infrequently do we talk to even the loved ones in our lives with blessing? Sometimes we bypass that, right? Familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? Parents, kids, you know, oh yeah, I'm always around this person. So maybe we don't tell them we love them. Maybe we don't tell them we appreciate them as much as we should. You know, this week while I was writing this message, God felt like I needed another illustration. So he gave me one. I don't drink coffee. I like drinking hot cocoa. And you know how when you're drinking hot cocoa and you get down a little bit past half a cup and there's just a little bit, and as you're drinking, you notice that chocolate sludge at the bottom? Well, I'm not one of those kinds of people that uses the spoon and scoops it out and eats it. I do this number, right? I like to mix it up, and so I'm doing that, and I'm looking at the screen, and whoop, some of it spills out on me. So, oh, okay, and I grab Kleenex from my desk, and I'm, okay, I got to clean up my shirt and my pants and my seat, and I'm cleaning it up, cool as a cucumber, cool as can be. And then God goes, boom, why don't you handle it like that when your kids spill something? Shut up, God. I'm working on my message right now. Right? God dropped this in, and it's like, I don't want to share that, but it was clear as day. Okay, going in the message. Dave is a failure as a dad. Why do I do that? See, we're merciful to others because we understand what making a mistake means. We understand what it's like to make a mistake. And so we're gracious for ourselves. But when others make a mistake to us, you know what I mean? Like somebody's mistake affects us personally. It gets personal, baby. It's a personal affront to us. It's an attack is what it is. It's an attack on us when a mistake hits us personally and we didn't have anything to do with it. Now, if we make a mistake with others and they're ungracious to us, whoa, calm down. It was a mistake. Be gracious, right? So we're given these blessings in Scripture to remind us. And here in Jude, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And I think he does that here in Jude because Jude is a hard word, but he wants us to know that this hard word is coming directly from the heart of God to his beloved children. So what does this mercy, peace, and love have to do with us today? First things, mercy is our role in Christ. It is our role to slow our roll on fleshly judgments toward others, right? We are called by God to be a people of mercy. We don't need to attack those that we disagree with. If we disagree with them, well, let's have conversation. Maybe as we go to the Word in fellowship and love that's like it's rooted in love, this conversation, maybe we will find out, oh, I haven't been right on this. And then we can ask this person, can you forgive me? Or maybe they will see that and they will say, oh, can you forgive me? And all of a sudden, we're sharing mercy around the body of Christ. What does it say in James 1:19? Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Yeah, but you don't understand. My boss is a quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. But you don't understand the people that work for me. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. But you don't understand the people in my congregation. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. But you don't understand that young upstart pastor. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. We're called to be a people of mercy. We show mercy just as we've received that mercy. Why peace? We are called to be a people of peace. But not just a people. Let's not make that nebulous and kind of out here. You are called to be a person of peace. I won't take the time to look at each of you individually, but I'm talking to all of you, and I'm talking to myself. We're called to be people of peace. Paul writes Romans 12 to be at peace with all people, insofar as it depends on you. Now, you may try to be at peace with people, and they ain't having it. Insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Now, how do we do that? Well, Jesus tells us in John 14, that peace doesn't come from here, our flesh. It comes from him. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. And so we're giving peace to others out of a heavenly storehouse. And I hear that they don't run out. I hear that God's economy doesn't ever go through a recession. Be a person of peace. And what about love? What about love? Are we called to be known by our love? Yes. Jesus said, you will be known as my disciples if you have love for one another. So that's what we are called to do. We are called to be in Christ and to live out of the overflow of God's love for us. As you have been loved, so love others. And God has loved us in Christ eternally, exponentially. We can't even fathom that kind of love. So what does he say in verse 2? May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. When we walk in blessing, when we walk with others, whether they're followers of Christ or not, when we walk in mercy and peace and love, the God who multiplies loaves and fishes, the God who multiplies soup in a pot, the God who multiplies the love and mercy and peace that he gives us, he will multiply it to others. Whatever we share, and this is the hard reality, right? This is something that we know. Whatever we share with others is multiplied. Sometimes it's bad. You know, when we share hurt, and what I mean is not telling people, I've been hurt in this way. But when someone hurts us and we pass it down the line, right? We see this in the business world all the time. Someone's boss passes down junk to them, yells at them. When they come out of that meeting, those who are under them are aware, ooh, I got to stay out of the war path because he just got reamed and he's going to ream me as well. When people hurt us, it is so easy to fall into that pattern and hurt others as well. We're not called to do that in Christ. When someone comes against us with a harsh judgment, it's easy to judge them right back or to go and judge someone else. It's easy to do that. But we're not called to do that in Christ. We're called to hold fast to the good. And when we bless others, even if they've cursed us, when we bless others, we see God's economy of mercy unfolding in our lives and in their life. We will see as God blesses them. We will see ourselves be blessed. We have this promise from Scripture as well. When we bless others, when we seek another's good, we find ourselves being blessed as well. This is how things work in God's economy. It doesn't make sense. What you mean? So when I give, I'm actually going to receive? That's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that we can walk in such a way and receive blessing as we bless others. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying, well, I don't like this person, but I'm going to bless them because I want God to bless me. It's the wrong heart, right? We got to adopt the heart of God. Oh, wait, but how do we do that? How do we adopt the heart of God? How do we say, okay, I'm going to be different now? Well, the message of Christ, the message of the good news of the gospel is that we can't. We cannot just adopt, just put on the heart of God. We have to submit to God first. And so as the worship team comes forward to sing a song of invitation, as we do every week, I want you to know that this letter is written to those who are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you may have noticed that it's hard to love those who don't love you back or haven't loved you first, right? We start living by the bronze rule. I'm going to do unto them because they did unto me. Christ has come to change us, to transform us, to give us a new heart and a new mind. And so, as you stand with us and we sing the song of invitation, this is your invitation. If you've never submitted to God through Christ, I encourage you to do that this morning. Or maybe you want to join a body of Christ. I promise you there are more people here in this church. The snow kept some people away, but we're all of us imperfect, and we're all of us pursuing Christ, and we're sharpening each other. Join us. Walk with us. Or maybe you just need prayer. We are a praying church, and we would love to pray for you if you'll come. Would you?